Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. I have a return guest. Myself and Brian Searcy have worked together before, and it's always a pleasure. One of the big topics we talk about is what Brian specializes in with is situational awareness. And just to do the formal intro for those of you that haven't maybe caught some of our previous work together. So Brian Searcy is a retired United States Air Force colonel. He's also president of Paratus Group. Brian, great to see you again and welcome back to the show.
Adam, thanks for having me on. This is awesome. Thanks.
Oh, man. Great stuff. So I know you're doing a lot of great work, helping a lot of people, helping a lot of families and organizations with your work at Paratus Group. And just to get us kicked off, I'll start with our signature question. So, Brian, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Brian, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Adam. My wife actually identified a couple years ago about why I was struggling with what I was going to do when I grew up after I retired from the Air Force. And it was that I needed to have a mission. About 4 years ago, I got involved in the safety area. And about 2 years ago, I realized that what we have been looking at the issue of trying to solve safety in our country from the wrong direction. We've been doing Einstein's definition of insanity for over 53 years, where we're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Yeah. We're trying to teach people how to respond if bad things happen instead of empowering them to proactively be able to prevent things from happening. So we are on a mission to educate people that you can't do traditional training on situation awareness or what the threats are. What you need to do is have a training program that empowers people to learn habits, behaviors, a new mindset and processes that all surround situation awareness. Mm-hmm. And when we learn situation awareness, it gives us the ability, like I said, to proactively prevent bad things from happening. Mm-hmm. One of the very first slides I have in every presentation is the world is not a safe place today, and it's getting less safe every single day. All of the threats are on the rise. They're not declining. So we need to change the paradigm of how we deal with this. So that's why at the Paratus Group, we focus on this, on the learning of situation awareness, so you can take responsibility for your own safety. But then hopefully, because we're also teaching you 10 critical skills, one of which is empathy, it'll drive you to be able to also start taking responsibility for our communities. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really need to do if we want to turn this around and start preventing these bad things from happening.
Amazing mission. And one of the reasons why I'm excited to have you back on the show, for those that didn't catch the first episode, like situation awareness, we'll start there, but a little bit more about your background before we go further into the topic, because I want people to understand like your expertise.
Thanks, Adam. I've been doing things around the same as this for about 34 years. I entered in the Air Force in 1987, flew AWACS right out of NAV school. Had a number of assignments. I went to the Pentagon twice, but I commanded at the squadron, the group, and the wing level. So I had the opportunity to train. I had the opportunity to lead, and I had the opportunity to serve and to fly in the U.S. Air Force. When I retired, I did what a lot of retired senior guys do, and I went to work for a defense contractor. And after about 18 months, that wasn't for me. And that goes back to what my wife said, that I needed to have a mission. After that, I did some consulting to CEOs and presidents on leadership. After that, I helped my wife build her commercial screen printing company, and I'm very happy to say she's doing an amazing job. She's doing a great job with that company. About 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I started a company with a very good friend of mine. It was on how you teach personal skills to high school students. Mm. Unfortunately, he ended up taking his life. That's another story that kind of ties into what I'm doing now with situation awareness. But right about the time he took his life, after a couple school shootings here in the United States, a couple of them here in Texas, I got into the safety area.
Wow.
Initially, it was focused on how do you do active shooter response. There's a ton of companies out there that go in and try to teach businesses, schools, churches, yeah, what you should do if there's an active shooter. We did that. I'd like to say we did it on steroids because we really put them through stressful situations so they could learn what an active shooter situation would be like. Mm-hmm. But as we went through that, I really realized that we're really doing a disservice. And there's a number of ways we were doing a disservice, but the biggest one was that we were not focused on prevention. The FBI and the Secret Service say that 93% of active shooting events can be prevented if you have situation awareness, if you know what to look for, but then you learn how to make decisions and then you act on it. And that's where a lot of people fail. And then late 2019, it became apparent to me that while we put together a program, mm-hmm, to teach situation awareness to prevent active shooters. But then it dawned on me that there are dozens of threats that we face every day, right? Human trafficking, suicide, sexual assault, abusive behavior, the list can go on. These can be prevented as well if people would just learn situation awareness, mm, and then learn how to make decisions and then act on it. So that's, mm-hmm, in a nutshell what our program is about.
So we've been using this term pretty often in this interview so far. So situational awareness. I don't want to assume everybody understands that. I know I didn't understand it until we began our dialogues a long time ago. Like, I didn't really know what it was. I'm like, situational awareness, like just being aware maybe of your, my guess was being aware of your surroundings. I don't know. And like, why is that so important? So let's start there. Situational awareness.
Right. So situation awareness, you know, at the very macro level is just really knowing what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. But to truly have situation awareness, especially if you want to left of bang, prevent bad things from happening by being proactive, mm-hmm, you have to understand that it's a process where you have to be able to have great perception and see things. That's the number one thing that you have to do. Once you start having the ability to see things, then you have to have a further process where you do assessments, where you analyze what is going on. And then the third step, because we actually have a five-step process, but the third step is that then you think about, okay, if anything bad happened today, what would I do? Mm-hmm. You put yourself in a state of preparedness. It's what Lieutenant Colonel Cooper in his first colors on situational awareness calls yellow. And this is a real thing, mm-hmm, where now you've done this analysis, you've predicted what you might do. And if you do that all the time and it becomes a habit, a behavior, and a mindset, well, now you're doing whatever you're doing in a prepared state. So if you ever get that God-given gift that goes off, which is that hair on the back of the neck, yeah, or that gut feeling, mm-hmm, you know now that I have to take a next step and I have to trust it when that happens and then make a decision about what I'm going to do.
It's very helpful. And digging a little bit deeper in that. So first off, Paratus Group. Who do you typically, and we'll go further into, I want to go into some of those critical skills that you mentioned. I want to go, like, we're going to dig deeper, but to get us going on that end, what are the types of individuals that you normally work with? Or is it individuals, organizations? Is it just like big companies? Is it, small businesses? Do you serve them too? Like who do you typically work with in general?
Well, the problem that we're facing out there as part of the mission is that in society today, less than 1 in 7 people actually have situation awareness. And that's not a number I came up with. That's according to a Harvard Business Review study. Mm-hmm. And I would argue with the pandemic, that's probably gotten worse because people have been on Zoom calls. They've been locked up in their homes. Personal skills, decision-making, yeah, being able to analyze a situation. Mm-hmm. These are all perishable skills. That's why the way the Paratus Group provides the opportunity to learn this is totally different than most anybody else that's out there. But because the problem is so pervasive and so huge, we have programs that we co-create with businesses, co-create with schools and churches. But then we also have programs that can go right into the home that train, wow, parents on situation awareness so they can train their kids. Because that's really where situation awareness learning should take place. But unfortunately, it's a skill that parents haven't learned for a very, very long time. So, and if you don't have a skill, then you can't teach it to your kids. So what we want to do is empower parents, empower organizations to learn this critical skill and then pass it on to those that are around them. Because as I said in the beginning, the focus is for all of us to not only learn how to take responsibility for our own safety, mm-hmm. but then also work to take responsibility for our communities.
So Brian, this is great. So tell me a little bit more about the delivery of the product and how you work specifically, like to go in home and also to work with corporations.
Right. And thanks for asking that question, because at the Products Group, we do think we're unique because we, as I said earlier, we break Einstein's definition of insanity and we target against the forgetting curve. We can introduce the program in one of three different ways. Can be live and in person. That's the way we like to do it, because there's a lot of interaction and people really see and find out that they really do not have situation awareness. The second way that we really have started because of the pandemic is through Zoom, when we weren't able to do a lot of in-person things. It's still an awesome experience, but we were forced into doing that. We'd love to do it in person if we can. But then because of the pandemic as well, and because we need to reach such a large audience because of how big this problem is, we've also taken that introduction and have condensed it into 5 individual videos that are about 15 or 20 minutes, so that in the first week in our learning management system, you get the full introduction. And then where the Products Group is different is that we don't stop there. We then have a year-long program. The next 90 days, we use micro e-learning, where you get content every single day that is reinforcing what you heard in the introduction. Because what we need to do to be able to really develop situational awareness is establish those habits, those behaviors, and that mindset and the process that we teach you. So to do that, you have to practice it over 90 days so you establish that behavior. And then for the rest of the year, you just get one piece of content each week that's talking about real world things that are going on. Because as I mentioned, these are perishable skills. And what we don't want to happen is for somebody after 90 days to go then a few weeks, forget about this process, and then they're right back where they started.
No, that's amazing. And I since our last interview, I was I see the progress. I mean, the in-person was already there. I know you were already experts at that, but now, I mean, I know maybe that wasn't the original intention, but I think it's a huge benefit. I mean, because I'm sitting back here thinking about that original stat you told me about the percentage of people that actually have this skill or that have had any training is so small that now you can reach such a big audience. I mean, now also international. I mean, you can, people have the time to be able to do this, hopefully, and in home and to do it with their kids and to run through exercises and just get it done. And then combining that with your with the micro learnings and kind of that, I guess it our us marketers would say the drip system, right? We're dripping education on you little by little with that micro content and for your own good and making sure that you're staying top of mind. It's not like it's just like the gym. You're not going to go once and then you're like, okay, I'm done. No, you got to keep on going. So in this case, you have those bite-sized pieces of content to keep it going and to keep it fresh. Am I following that right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the word drip because we used its drip content in our LMS so that people can't cheat. See, there are some programs out there that do have really great content on situational awareness, but they use traditional type training where it's a 1-hour video or it's maybe 5 videos that they all get at one time. So instead of doing it over time, they sit down and somebody will do all 5 videos at one time.
Yeah.
What we're introducing there is the forgetting curve, right? Mm-hmm. They'll watch that video and a week later, they'll forget almost everything that was in there, about 95% of it, because they're not reinforcing that content. So we use drip content. So our content is released on specific days over those 90 days.
Yeah.
So again, you can't cheat. You can go back and review content, but you can't jump ahead and finish it all at one time.
Yeah, which is important too. And I don't think, when I look at these type of trainings, this isn't something that you just want to get done, like, and check a box off. No, you're developing a skill. This is an important skill that can really, save you or save somebody else. Like, this is a really important skill. So I love it. And I love the way that you're delivering it. I love the idea that it can be in home. I mean, and you're making it too easy on them, but we want to on this one. This is a serious topic. So I'm glad that you're making it easy on them, on everybody watching. Let's go further into the content. So we know now we have, just to kind of recap briefly, we know what situational awareness is. We have an idea of the types of ways that you can, that people can get this training. We understand the format. We understand the idea of micro content. We understand the commitment to where they're building an actual skill, which is way more valuable than just watching something and forgetting it. So it's designed right. Let's go into some of the content. So you mentioned some critical skills earlier and kind of the layout.
Right. So, in the programs, everybody learns what situational awareness is. That's the key thing. But then we also talk about all the threats. And that's what's also different between the Prodis Group and other organizations. Mm-hmm. Most organizations are maybe just talking about active shooter, where we're talking about all of the threats that are out there. After the introduction is done, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday content is basically reinforcing what we've talked about. You know, what is situational awareness? What are the threats? What are the 10 critical skills? Then on Tuesday, Thursday, we're introducing real world content so that everything that the learner is getting is real world and is personal to them. Mm-hmm. That's what makes our program unique, because we're talking about all of the threats. Mm-hmm. When I'll sit in front of a group and I'll ask, how many of you have ever been involved in an active shooting event? Maybe one hand will go up out of 500. Wow. But if I say, how many of you have ever experienced, or you know somebody that has experienced human trafficking, bullying, sexual assault, suicide, everybody's hand in the room goes up.
Yeah.
And that's why our program is unique and why we do it the way we do it.
So you mentioned 10 critical skills. We're not going to go through all 10. Why? Because I want people to go do this, to go do the training. Number one, they're not going to retain it all. So we're not going to do them the disservice of giving them all right now, but I do want to go through, you know, a couple of them just to give some people some tools today, that they can use. So where do you want to start with that one?
No, and thanks for asking, because that is another problem in our society today. Mm-hmm. The amount of kids coming out of college that don't have well-developed personal skills mm-hmm. is dramatically on the rise. Mm-hmm. The problem is you can't have situational awareness without these 10 skills, but you also can't be a good parent. You can't be a good worker. You can't be a good leader if you don't have these 10 critical skills. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the key things I talk about when I tie situational awareness together, is how these 10 critical skills and situational awareness mm-hmm. drive your ability to be a leader. The first one that is a lost skill and a lost art today is being an active listener, right? Almost every time in a presentation, I'll ask the audience, how many of you have ever been in a conversation where you're talking to somebody and you can just tell by looking at them that they're not paying attention anymore? They've already decided what they're going to say because they're listening now to respond instead of actively listening to learn and ask questions. But you can't have situational awareness, and you certainly can't be a leader if you don't know how to actively listen. Another one I'll throw out of the 10 is you have to be decisive. Most people today, because of the way that they go through school and they play sports and those types of things, don't learn how to make decisions. They rely on other people to make decisions for them. Well, when you're trying to prevent bad things from happening, or God forbid, having to deal with something bad that is happening, or if you're a leader and you've got to find those learning opportunities and decide to do something about it, that skill is critical.
Wow.
So being able to make decisions is absolutely critical. The third one that I'll talk about of the 10, while they're all important, you've got to have all 10. The third one I will bring up is you have to have empathy. You have to want to help others, and you have to be able and prepare to take time to help others. About 4 weeks ago, I was driving up to North Denton to my daughter's house, and I came upon a stopped light downtown Denton, and an accident had just happened.
Wow.
There was a car in the intersection, debris everywhere. I pulled into the gas station next. The truck that was in the accident was sitting in the gas station. The witnesses that were there, they had dialed 911.
Right.
So I went out into the traffic and started directing traffic because I did not want another accident to happen.
Right.
Because cars were flying up. Unfortunately, drivers today don't have situation awareness. So they look 30 feet in front of them instead of hundreds of feet in front of them. So I had to slow cars down. I had to get them out of the way so they didn't run into this car, or they didn't run into the debris, or run into another car trying to merge to the right. But see, it's that empathy and the fact that I have developed situational awareness and a process that I know what to do and how to act. So that's how that all ties together. So those are three of the 10. But like I said, you need to know all 10 to be able to have situational awareness.
So, and that's a great example, by the way, and I can see that playing out. And if I'm out there and I'm in an accident, no, just throwing this out there, I want Brian directing my traffic so I don't get hit, because I know it's going to be done right. So I'm in on that one. But thank you for sharing that story. So what comes to mind to me? So I don't want to oversimplify this, and I know you've worked with a lot of people. I know you've worked with a lot of organizations, and I know even just like through your training, Air Force, all these things, right? But what do you think is like one of the top theme or thing that kind of keeps people away from having situational awareness? Because I don't think people intentionally want to be, if I had to use an antonym, if you will, I'd say they don't want to necessarily be aloof. I feel like that would be my closest antonym to situational awareness. But what do you think people keeps them from being situationally aware?
Well, as I mentioned, this is a gift that we all have, the hair on the back of the neck, that gut feeling.
Like we're hardwired, right? Like it's in our brain. Yeah.
The problem is that people haven't been educated about, their parents didn't tell them about it. They were never given the opportunity. Like when I was a kid, I made my own mistakes. I had to learn through those mistakes. I had to start trusting my gut and that intuition. So because people haven't learned this for 20 or 30 or 40 years, when they become parents, they don't know how to transfer the skills to their kids. And they haven't developed that process that they use. So situational awareness is not a complex problem. It is not a complex skill. But there is a process that you have to go through to actually develop it. So that's why the Prodis Group has come up with this unique way using the micro relearning, so you can establish those habits, behaviors, and mindsets. So it's part of the what happened in our culture since the early 1970s that people just stopped learning what this skill is. So, and then the way that they addressed it is through traditional training. And you and I have already talked about how that traditional training, that check the box training, doesn't work for you to develop a skill that you can then practice. So that's the focus of the Prodis Group, is to introduce this. Like I said, it's very simple. We have the skill, but one of the other four skills, 10 critical skills, is you have to be perceptive. Very few people today are perceptive, so they don't see what's going on around them.
Yeah.
So without that skill as well, and learning the habits and behaviors, you just don't have situational awareness.
How does environment play into this? So meaning, I know when I moved, from Phoenix, which is wide open spaces in many areas, even the congested areas is not like LA, right? So when I moved to LA from Phoenix, it felt a completely different environment, completely different challenges to deal with, just in general, getting around the freeway, things like that. Like, how does environment play into this?
Well, environment plays into it a couple different ways. The first one that I'll talk about is something that I read in the book Left of Bang. It's a book that was put together to teach situational awareness to Marines that were going door to door in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow.
And in their study, what they found is that people that came from cities where they had a lot of things to worry about and they had to pay closer attention because it wasn't as safe as perhaps a small town in the middle of Wisconsin, they usually had better situation awareness than that Marine that came from that small city. So how you grow up, where you grow up can and will be an indicator to your current level of situation awareness. But the big thing is when you learn situation awareness and that the skills that we teach, it applies to all environments that you're in. Because you use the first three steps of the process, which are identify, assess, and predict. If you use that every time you're about to go somewhere, it gives you the ability to, like I said, prevent or be prepared to prevent things from happening or to remove yourself from being a victim. So I'll give you an example. So at the beginning of the pandemic, had a whole bunch of things going on, and we had riots in our country, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So where I live, didn't have any riots, but 25 miles from here in downtown Dallas, there were riots. If you have situation awareness and you pay attention to information that is out there, you're not going to get in your car and drive down to downtown Dallas where the riots are taking place. But you do that because you've developed the habits and behaviors and a process that you currently think about. So you think about, okay, going to Dallas today, is there anything I need to be concerned about? If the answer is no, then you go to Dallas. But if there's riots going on and I follow that process, and I'm probably not going to drive to that part of Dallas. And that gives us the ability to take responsibility for our own safety and not put ourselves in a position where we can be a victim. So it applies everywhere. And that's the beauty of the program, you know, because if you're going to travel from here to Chicago or I'm heading to San Diego in a few weeks, not necessarily as safe as where I currently am. Maybe I'm not sure exactly what how it compares to Dallas, but there's going to be different things that I need to think about. So, but I have a process that I think about when I go there, and I'll pay attention to the environment, which will give me the ability to be in that yellow color where I'm prepared. And also because for 34 years, I've been thinking about different things that I would do, that just becomes part of the process.
No, that's great. As you're saying that, it's like, it's the difference between like, you know, how much more time did that take? It's the process. It's not the time. It's not the other things. It's just understanding the process behind it. You're going to a new city, maybe check Twitter, check the news, see if something's happening there that you should know. Like a perfect example, maybe it's not the best, maybe you cancel that meeting in Dallas for that day, right? It's understood, as opposed to being in traffic or you get to somewhere and you're like, what's going on? I think something's going on today. And then it's too late, possibly. And you're already in the middle of something that's either going to be potentially dangerous or just going to not be what you expected. So one of the two.
Absolutely.
No, this is great. And this is very helpful. That was a very helpful example. What kind of feedback have you received from some of, it could be from the students, it could be from the organizations, like tell me a little bit more about that.
We're getting great feedback. And the analytics actually show that when people go through our program and they actually learn situation awareness over 90 days and then continue with that process where they practice it every day, they feel much safer.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things that I'm proud of, it's the people that have taken our program haven't just made themselves more safe and haven't developed a situation awareness habit, behavior, and mindset. They're teaching it to their kids. They're teaching it to their spouse. They're making them more safe because these are contagious behaviors. One of the things I continually talk about when you learn this process, and that's why we have a separate program for parents, is because there's a specific way that parents need to teach these skills to their kids.
Wow.
But if I could, I'm going to tell two quick stories.
Yeah, please.
First story is we hired a salesperson a few years ago. He had to leave at the beginning of the pandemic as we kind of pivoted and did a few things. But when he came on board, he had never learned situation awareness. He had no practice about what we were talking about.
Yeah.
He came to our trainings. He learned how to develop his own process. So after about 6 months, he had developed his own habits, behaviors, and mindset and the process that he uses. Well, in our program, we talk about, especially if you're a parent to a kid, through contagious behavior by using learning opportunities, you teach that skill to your kid. So he started doing that. After about, like I said, about 6 months, his daughter was driving home one night, 10 o'clock. She's 16 years old. And she gets sideswiped. The car that sideswiped her pulled in front of her and turned down a darkened 200-foot alley. And the hair on the back of her neck came up. The gut feeling said, don't drive down there. Don't drive down there. So she drove home. The next morning, her dad went out and saw the damage to the car and asked her what happened. And she was afraid he was going to be upset because he had always said prior to that, if you ever get into an accident, you're supposed to exchange information.
Yeah.
She said, Dad, they drove down this 200 foot road where it was pitch black. I got this gut feeling and I said, I shouldn't go down there. So I drove home and he shared with me that he just felt blessed that he had actually been able to convey that to his daughter. Now I'll talk about how it's conveyed, right?
Yeah.
So as a parent, I've been doing this for a very, very long time. With my kids, we'd go to restaurants or we'd go out somewhere, or when I taught them how to drive a car, I would look for those learning opportunities. So when my kids were young, we'd go to a restaurant and they'd want to sit in the seat that I'm supposed to sit in. And I'd say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you can't sit there. Daddy has to sit there. And she'd go, Daddy, why do you have to sit there? Well, I want to make sure my back's not to the door. I want to be able to see all the exits and I'm going to have a plan in place in case anything happens so I can tell you what to do so that you can be safe. Learning opportunity after learning opportunity, that's how my kids developed this skill. So much so that that same daughter who's now 30, when she was 14 years old, we walked into a restaurant with family friends and her friend was going to sit in the seat that my daughter knew I needed to sit in. And so my daughter said, I'm sorry, you can't sit there. And her friend said, well, why can't you sit there? Well, my dad has to sit there so his back's not to the door so he can see all the exits and he'll have a plan if anything happens so he can tell us what to do so we can be safe. So
that's amazing.
I never sat them down and lectured them, right? I did what you should do with this skill, or if you're anytime you're being a parent or anytime you're being a leader, you look for those learning opportunities so you can reinforce right there the types of behaviors you want them to follow.
Yeah. What an amazing story. And I can see that happening. The friend's like, what? Who's your dad? You're like, he's Spider-Man. Come on. You know that.
Right.
That's amazing. What a great story. And what a great way, like, as you're saying this, I feel like a lot of individuals that go through formal training. So, you know, obviously military, police, firefighters, things like this, is common training for them. So one thing that you don't know about myself, I don't think, Brian, is never in the military, never anything like that. But when I was in college, I was a armored car carrier. So I would go in and out, and that was my side job. And that's how I paid for college. So I went through a lot of trainings on there. And I hear you talk, I'm like trying to picture if I didn't, like, all through college, I did that. So if I didn't do that, if I didn't have all of that training, you know, then I would be completely clueless. Like, I would have no idea of anything you said just now. So I know that the majority of people are never going to go through that type of training in their day-to-day. I mean, unless they work with a company like the Paradis Group, unless their employers understand the value and they hire and bring on the training, or the individuals that are watching this right now that are thinking like, yeah, I don't have this knowledge. How am I going to teach my kids? Like, that story that you shared with your daughter about your daughter, that's very powerful. And to think that, you know, so that a lot of things maybe could be prevented. And now the next time, even just that little nugget you just now gave, even though I recommend people go through the full training, of course, but even just that little nugget, next time somebody sits down with their young kids, may think twice about, you know, what side of the table they're going to sit on, right? And who gets the, it's not about who gets the best view or who gets the, it's not, that's not what it is. It's like you're thinking on a whole nother level based on your training, based on also, you know, what you've seen in the world. So I think it's amazing. I think this conversation has been very valuable to myself, for sure. I'll start there. But for our audience, I feel like a lot of individuals are going to watch this, and even just that one little nugget, if you do that, and that can make some difference in your life, I think it's going to be a huge win. That being said, though, so for you, I mean, I've heard some of the updates. What's next? What's next for you? What's next for Paradis Group? Like, tell me a little bit more there.
What I'm really focused on doing is getting the word out. I would like the need for the mission of the Paradis Group to reach as many people as possible. I'm a keynote speaker, so I love the opportunity to do keynote speaking or lunch and learns. Again, to educate people initially on what is situational awareness and why do we have to have it, how it applies to helping with mental health, and how also, like I said, you can't be an effective leader, you can't be an effective parent or grandparent without situational awareness. So it's an education process, but then give them the opportunity to really figure out that you can't do that traditional training and that you have to have a program, whether it's ours or somebody else's.
Yeah.
I mean, this problem is so pervasive today. Like I said, less than 1 in 7 people. Anecdotally, I go out on a regular basis here in Texas. We're not locked down, and I see people every single day that have no clue what's going on around them.
Yeah.
I had a story that a friend told me, Jeffrey Hazlett, who's the CEO of the C-Suite, and they're going through my program.
Yeah.
And he related a story where he went out for drinks with some friends after a keynote speech that he gave. One of his friends threw his keys on the table. Yeah. Nobody paid attention. Jeffrey looked a little bit later and saw that the keys were gone.
Oh, wow.
He grabbed his friend and said, "We're going out to the parking lot," because nobody was paying attention. Somebody took those keys and was out in the parking lot trying to find the car to steal that car. Wow. See, those are the simple things that when you learn situational awareness, and you establish your habits and behaviors and process that you can change. So it's dealing with the big threats, but it's also dealing with just little things like that. It's solving mental health issues. Another quick story. And one of the reasons this is so important to me is I talked about the friend that I founded the company with that took his own life.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be an expert in situational awareness. And he said and did things that were indicators that he was thinking of taking his own life. Mm. In my hot wash, which is an Air Force term, you do it after a flight, I critiqued myself and realized he actually said those things.
Wow.
But I didn't make a decision to do anything about it. And then I didn't act to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. So situational awareness gives you the ability to help with people's mental health. Mm. And then finally, like I said, you can't be an effective leader without situational awareness, because You need situational awareness to be able to figure out what leadership tenets you want to use, what bad behaviors you don't want to do. Yeah. And then, like I said, you've got to have situational awareness to look for those learning opportunities. So the focus of the Prodis group is to tie all three of those things together under the situational awareness umbrella and give people the opportunity to learn and practice this skill. And ultimately, the goal is to change the problem that we have, the threats in society today. Like I said, they're all going up. Human trafficking has grown five times in 13 years. The suicide rates in our country today are unbelievable. It would be amazing for everybody to learn situational awareness, take responsibility for our own safety, but care about everybody else as well, and start taking responsibility for the safety of our communities and get all those threat statistics to go down.
Man, amazing, Brian. I think you're doing great work. I know, obviously, just by watching this, anybody watching, I mean, we know where your heart's at. Like, you care about this. Like, I can tell in your voice, your not just your actions, what you're doing, but this is in your heart to get this out and to get this message out. So love it. Love the fact that you brought up that you do keynotes, other things like that. I'm going to make sure that we follow up because I want to get you on our, we do a weekly clubhouse, event where we hold different topics and we promote it. We have everybody come on. It's every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm going to get you on there. I want you to do a host. They're like fireside chat style. So that's the way Clubhouse works. And so I want you to host a panel there for us, or not a panel, but host a talk on situational awareness and what that means. So we'll get the other co-founder, Chirag. He's the one who does all the programming on that. So we'll make him put that together. It'll be fun, but it'll be awesome to work with you. And our mission here, like, is of course to amplify voices for that need to be heard, that are mission based, that have amazing things to share with the world. And you're 100% one of those people. So it's been an honor to have you back on the show. And I'm sure it's going to happen again in the future. I love working with you. Finally, if somebody's listening to this, Brian, and they want more information, whether, again, they're corporations, they're a parent in home, they want the training in home, or they just want to listen to more of your content. And of course, the keynote side of things. So you're always speaking. How do people reach out?
Yeah, they can reach out to me at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Prodis.group. That's a great way to get things started. Anybody that contacts me, we'll get a short list of what those 10 critical skills are so they can do their own self-evaluation to see how strong they are in those skills. Yeah. But that's the best way to contact me. They can go to our website. It is www.paradis.group. There's some great content on there, but we like to work with PTA, with schools, with businesses, and like I said, co-create those programs. So the best way to do it is to contact us so that we can work together to educate people on the need for this and then provide the training so that people can actually develop this skill.
Amazing. Well, Brian, again, thank you for coming on the show. It has been a pleasure to have you on and to get this information out. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based entrepreneurs and experts coming on, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Brian, as always, been awesome.
Thanks, Adam. Enjoyed it.